Hey, we're starting here on the top of Chaf Chei Amud Aleph. Yesterday we left off five lines down with the Gemara saying that Hilchato Kavate de Rav and Hilchato Kavate de Rabbi, that the Loch is both like Rav and Rabbi. And of course the Gemara says Kasha Hilchata Hilchata. That's a stira in the Halachot, because Rav, as we saw before, requires Idim, whereas Rabbi says even if it's Mechuara Davar, even if it's simply something that is untenable or looks terrible, then we also require a divorce, or we require a separation between the husband and the wife. Yesterday we discussed the sheet of the Tosafot, that the statement of Rabbi is all about the Boel and not about the Bao, although Tosafot in other places backs out of that and says that maybe it applies to both of them. Nevertheless, there is a Machloket HaRishonim here about what is the position of Rav versus Rabbi in the end, the halacha, and it derives from their explanation here of the sugya itself. According to almost everyone, according to Rav, you require a dim in order to force the bow and the boel to remove the woman. According to Rabbi, even for the bow, it seems like it might be enough to have a dim, le dvar mechuar, as opposed to ede tuma that Rav requires. The only exception to that is the Tosafot that we read yesterday, where the Rabbeinu Tam insisted that even for the Baal, you would need a day tuma. And then by the Boel, even a lower standard, even according to most of the Rishonim, you just need a dover mechuar, or a kol sheino poseik, something that is mechuar, even if it's just simply a rumor, it might be enough. Like the Pashtut, Shita of Rabbi, and Rashi even says for the Baal, it's enough to have a dover mechuar. Whereas some of the Rishonim still require a day kiyur in order to remove from the Boel, and it's not enough that you have a davar mechuar or a rumor. There's many shitot amongst the Rishonim here about how to reconcile. We'll read what's here in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Kasha hilchata hilchata lo kasha. Ha bekala de pasik, ha bekala de lo pasik. It depends on what type of rumor we're speaking about. If it's a rumor that stops, that does not persist, then that's one din. But if you have a rumor that persists, then we have a bigger problem. Delo pasik veleka edim kirabi. If you have a situation in which you have a persistent rumor, even though there are no edim, we paskin like Rabbi. And that's enough to force a divorce in this situation. Kala de pasik veika edim kirab. If you have a rumor that stopped, but you still have edim, then we paskin like Rav. So you have, on both sides, in terms of Edim, no matter whether the rumor is persistent or not, Edim will force a divorce over here. And according to Rabbi, even without Edim, as long as you have a persistent rumor, that's also enough to force a divorce over here. Even though Rav will disagree with this. Tosafot says over here, Mi Rav gufe itle lo shna kala de pasik lo shna kala de lo pasik. According to Rav, it makes no difference whether it's a persistent or non-persistent rumor. Rav requires Edim. That's the only thing that matters over here. So even though that's the case, nevertheless, we, the Din, or the Din, are bifurcating here and taking parts of Rabbi's position and parts of Rav's position. So we're not trying to reconcile Rabbi and Rav themselves. We're trying to reconcile how our halacha works within Rav and within Rabbi. So now the Gemara says, V'kalat lo posik ad kama. What is considered to be a rumor that is persistent? So Amar Abaye, Amar Liyim. So Abaye says, my mother told me. Anytime Abaye says this, Amar Liyim, generally it refers to the woman who brought him up, whether it was his nursemaid, whoever brought him up, because Abaye lost his parents when he was very young. He was orphaned, him and Rava, who grew up in the house of Rabba. So Abaye is obviously not talking about his mother, because he never met his mother. So Amar Liyim is whoever his stepmother was that brought him up. She told me, Domi de Mata, Yomo Palgo. The yentas of the city, if it goes on for a day and a half. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Domi de Mata are these shady characters, the Chashudei Ha'ir. If they are the ones talking about it for a day and a half, that's already enough. Rashi brings a second Lashon, which is, Domi, de lo yada vadai, el amrebi de Domi. That Domi is not about describing the individuals, but the nature of the rumor. People are surmising, coming to the conclusion. So that's what domeh, like domeh li. So that's what domeh means. But if it goes on for a day and a half, that's considered to be a persistent rumor. V'lo amran elo d'lo pasak beni u beni. That's only if the rumor did not stop in the interim. If there's some break in this rumor, then that's not considered to be a persistent rumor. It has to be persistent for a day and a half without any time of stopping. Aval pasak beni beni, ha pasak. If it stops in the interim, then it stopped, and we don't give credence to it anymore. Velo amran el delo pasak machmati ra. That's only true if it stopped, not because of fear. Meaning that if someone comes on and forces them to stop the rumor because they're a powerful political figure, or for whatever reason they're able to shut down the rumor, but if it's done because they imposed fear on those individuals, that is not the case of Al-Pasak Ma'wadira, Machmat Mirahu. The only reason the rumor stopped is because someone forced the rumor to stop, not because the rumor's not true, or the rumor wouldn't have persisted without that imposition of fear. This is the most important part of it. It's only true if the person doesn't have enemies in the city. Then we have to be suspicious of any rumors that are started or discrediting of a person's persona. So that's only true when nobody's trying to assassinate their character. If we know that there are people out there that have a reason to assassinate his character, to ruin his reputation, then we suspect that those are the people that are starting the rumor, and not because the rumor is really true. So here you need a persistent rumor that is not caused by individuals who are out to get this person, that persists for a day and a half and does not stop either by itself or because of an imposition of fear that it stops the rumor, then that's a rumor that's not posek. Nan hatam. We have a Mishnah in Gittin. Hamotzi et ishto mishum shem ra. Lo yachzir. Person divorces his wife because of the rumors that are circulating about the behavior of his wife. He may not remarry her again. Mishum neder. If he divorces her because she took a neder that he was not matir, lo yachzir. Again, he may not return her. So the Gemara in Gittin discusses why that is. And Rashi over here notes that is because our fear is that the individual will divorce the woman either because of the rumors or because of the neder. Then we'll find out that the rumors weren't true. Or they'll be able to find a petach l'neder. A chacham be able to be matir the neder. Then the individual will have remorse, regret over divorcing his wife. Because he goes, oh, if you told me that these rumors weren't true, I would never have divorced her. There's no way I would have given her a divorce. Or had I known you could have found a heter for this neder, I would never have divorced her. What he'll end up doing is retroactively undermining the get that he gave her and said that the get was a mekach taot because the get was given on a premise that wasn't true. So what we're afraid of is the person will give a get because of this. This woman will go get remarried. Then all of a sudden in her new marriage, the rumors stop or they find out that they weren't true. And the original husband says, oh my gosh, I never would have divorced her in that case. And now you create a huge problem because then she's married to this other individual. Their children will be mamzerim if you okay the get. So we tell the individual when you divorce this woman, if it's because of shame ra, that's it. Even if the shame ra is found out not to be true, it's done. And the same thing with regards to neder. You're not going to be able to remarry this woman. The chachamim say you cannot take her back because of the risk that this could cause if we allow him to take her back. Shalach le rabba bar Rav Huna, the rabba bar Rav Nachman. Yilamdeinu rabbeinu. Please teach us. Tanas mahu shiotzi. In this instance, if he ignores the Takanat Chachamim not to take this woman back, do we force him to divorce her? So we had our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that in certain instances we force him to divorce. In other cases, we don't force him if he doesn't listen to Divrei Chachamim. Over here, what's the scenario? Amalei Tanina. It's our Mishnah. Hanitan al Eshadish. In a situation in which we have rumors about an Eshadish and the husband divorces her. Even though the Boel has married her, we don't allow that to go on. We force a divorce. So he sends back to him, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, Midomi. How can you compare our Mishnah to this case? Hatam Hotziu. Over there, our Mishnah says that they forced the Baal to divorce her. That's why we use the word Hotziu. The Beit Din took the wife away from the Baal. They forced the divorce in that case because either going to rob their Eidim, or going to rob you, or Rav Sheshet. There was something else, rumors that caused us to do this, that it's enough without Eidim. In an instance where the husband does the divorce willingly, who says that the din would be the same? It's one thing where the Beit Din forced him to go out, because then there's an Isur D'oraita to the Baal and his nisui d'oraita to the Boel. But in the case where the husband voluntarily divorces his wife, who says then we're going to force him to divorce her when he ignores the Takanat Chachamim? Mi dami hotam hotziu v'holcha, our case over here is hotziyah. We did it voluntarily. V'rabba barav Nachman matnita nami hotziyah tenan. So Rabba bar Rav Nachman believes that our Mishnah did not say hotziu, but rather hotziyah, that he voluntarily divorced his wife. That would be against Rav's position. Rav said, why did he set up our Mishnah with Edim? Is because the word hotziua was found in our Mishnah. Rabba bar Rav Nachman obviously had a Mishnah without the word hotziu, but rather hotziyah, that the husband voluntarily divorced his wife, and that would support that position of Rav Sheshet, that even without Edim, we would force the husband to divorce. And on top of that, even if a Boel married afterwards, we'd also force the Boel to divorce. Fakate midami. Still, why are they so similar? Hachabau v'hatam Boel. Over here, we're talking about the husband. Over there, we're talking about the Boel. Over there, we're talking about the person who possibly had an extramarital affair with the woman. We have more reason to force the Boel to divorce the woman than we would by the Baal, by the husband. Right, the husband has a much more secure standing over here. We're less likely to take the woman away from the husband than we are to take the woman away from the Boel. The Tosafot just reads this whole piece here, not as segregated questions and answers. He reads it as one big question. We'll just read it the way that we have it in our Gemara, which is, Amalei, Shapir Dami, Oho Dodi. I can compare these two. That's not a problem. Hachor Amur Rabbanan Lo Ichnos. Because over here, the Rabbanan said, don't marry her. Vim kanas yotzi, and if you do marry her, get rid of her. Hachanami, amri b'ayin lo yachzir. So too, in our case, in the case of the neder and the case of the shemra, where he divorces her, the chachamim say, don't take her back. Vim kanas yotzi, and if he does do it, then you get rid of her. So he says that, I don't understand the problem here. You're right, one's about the Baal, one's about the Boel, but they're both rabbinic issues. They're both an issue to Rabbanan, where the Rabbanan say, either in our Mishnah, according to Rav Nachman, then it's not with Edim anymore. We're not talking about a Doraita level problem. We're talking about a Derabbanan level problem, where there's simply rumors circulating. So if it's a rabbinic level problem, and we force the Boel to be Motzi, that's because he ignored the instructions of the Chachamim. The Chachamim dictated that in that situation, the Boel may not marry the woman when the husband divorced her because of rumors. And if he goes in and does it, they force him to divorce her. So in our case also, if they tell the husband you can't remarry her and he goes in and does it, the Chachamim can force them into a divorce. It says, Velohi, there's the difference between the cases, and this is a very important difference. Hatam alume alme lekalo, hochaminen kambe bekalo velete. There's a difference in the marriage. By the Boel, if the Boel marries the woman, he's reinforcing the rumors. Because the whole rumor was that she has an extramarital affair with this guy. Then, after she leaves her husband, she goes and marries the guy? That only serves to reinforce exactly what was the rumors beforehand. So in that case, the Chachamim said, don't marry. And if you marry, you got a divorce. Because you're only substantiating the circumstantial evidence. And by doing that, it would make a masur on the Boel. On the other hand, here, by the Baal, if the Baal takes the woman back, what are the people going to say? That he checked into it, he found out they weren't true, and that's actually going to put a stop to the rumors. It has the reverse effect. Which is if the husband takes her back after the rumors were circulating, well, they know he divorced her over the rumors. If he's taking her back, it must be that he clarified the situation and the rumors were not true. So he's actually reversing the rumor mill. So that's why there's a difference here. You can't compare the cases and say just because by the Boel we're going to force him to get rid of the woman afterwards, because there he's substantiating what we thought already. Whereas over here, the Baal is actually doing the reverse, and therefore we may not force him to divorce her. And the two cases are not necessarily comparable over here. Okay, next Mishnah. Hemevi get mimidinat hayam. So this is a din in the Mishnayot and Gitin. Person who brings a get from overseas, v'amar b'fanai nechtav u'mefanai nechtam, that it was written and signed before me. There is a machloket in the Gemara in Gitin as to why that is. Some say it is because they ain't b'kiyam lishma. That over there, they were not bekeim to write the get lishma. So we need someone to testify that it was written lishma. So this gives us the evidence that it was written lishma. Others say because there aren't edim available. There aren't edim available coming from overseas. So we need someone who can testify to the veracity of this document. We can't just have the document here without any substantiation of the document. So that's a machloket there as to what the reason is. In the end, everyone agrees that there is an issue of lishma, and therefore he has to testify that it's lishma. There, lo yisait ishto. He may not marry the woman. He brings the get, and based on his testimony, we're actually going to verify the get, and that verifying of the get will allow this woman to be divorced from this man, or will cause the divorce to go through. Then it would be wrong for him to marry this woman. Right, because exactly, he has a conflict of interest over here, which is that he's the one causing the divorce to go through, and then he goes and marries her. It looks like he only did it in order to marry this woman. Mate, if he testifies that the husband had died, he comes from overseas and testifies that the husband had died. Harag tiv, I killed him. Harag nuhu, we killed him. Lo yisait ishto, he may not marry this woman. Again, he's nogeya badavar. This woman is freed of her marriage only because of the testimony of this individual. Remember, by agunot, the chachamim were matir eid echad. That eid echad, even though normally by arayot we require shnei eidim, the chachamim gave a dispensation because of agunot to say that an eid echad is sufficient because we believe that the woman will look into it carefully enough and not remarry until she's certain that the person who's bringing the evidence is telling the truth. So over here, where this individual, we're going to rely on him to allow this woman to remarry, then he can't marry this woman. Because again, he is a nogeya badavar. He has a conflict of interest. He's causing the divorce to go through. He cannot marry her. Rabbi Yehuda Omer harag tiv lo tinaseh. If he says, I killed him, then he may not marry her. That's obvious. But no one else may marry her either. Meaning that this testimony is no good because this guy is a rasha. If he says, I killed her, then what are we believing him for? What are we worried about divorce here? We're worried about this guy's a murderer and he's saying, oh, I killed him. And then, haraganu tinase ishto. If he says, we killed him, then he cannot marry the woman, but others can marry the woman. Meaning that, obviously he can't because he's again part of a group of individual that might have killed her, but still, he cannot marry the woman because he's an ogea badavar. But we still believe his testimony vis-a-vis others that can marry her. So Gemara says, Taima de Medina Tayam. It's only because they came from overseas. Da Alei Kasamchinan. Because he is the pivotal piece here. So this is your question, Fred. Because here, when he is the decisive factor in the divorce, then we say no good. Aval Me'eretz Yisrael. If he comes from Eretz Yisrael and he brings the get, Da Lav Alei Kasamchinan. We're not relying on him anymore because the get is good even without his testimony. He's the deliverer of the get, but his testimony, even if he says, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, that's not necessarily meaningful here because we don't need that. In Eretz Yisrael, there became lishma, and there are people available to testify about the get. The edim, we can find them. So in that case, we're not relying on him, we're relying on the get for the divorce. So Isai Tishto, in that case, he can marry the woman because he's just simply a messenger. He's an agent, but he's not the person that we're relying on. Vahameit delav aleika samchinan. What about a case where he says that the person passed away and we don't rely on him? Damarmar isha daiko mintzaba. In the end, the truth is, by an eid echad, it's not that we're relying on him in order to allow the woman to remarry, because you can't have a testimony of one eid by arayot. You always need two eidim. But we say that once the one eid comes along, the woman goes and checks carefully and will only remarry if she has verified the information. So the woman gets verification of the information and that's why we allow her to remarry. It has nothing to do with the eid echad. The eid echad is just the trigger for her to go and look into the matter and to make sure that everything is true. Biktani, lo yisait ishto. Yet in our Mishnah it says you may not marry, even though this is a case of testifying about a mate. Where it says, hacha leka ktavo, hacha yikatavo. There's a big difference between the testimony about a mate versus the bringing of a get. Tetznan, ma ben get the mita. What's the difference between a get and debt? Shaktav mochiach. By a get, the get itself stands on its own. The get is testimony in and of itself. So therefore, when he brings the get, then it's different between when he's testifying about the mate. When he's testifying about the mate, even though you're right, the woman goes out and checks on it, nevertheless, his testimony is still pivotal to the starting of the process or the triggering of the woman looking into it. Without him, we wouldn't allow the woman to remarry. It's only because of his testimony that we're going to allow this woman to remarry. And even though there's other evidence, or we assume there's other evidence because the woman is looking into it, nevertheless, he's still pivotal in allowing this woman to remarry. On the other hand, when he comes and the get can stand on its own, literally, he is meaningless in the scenario here. The get is a good get without him because we have the writing. We have the get in front of us. So independent of him, the get stands. And therefore, his testimony over here or his bringing of the get is no longer meaningful. So therefore, if he brings it within Eretz Yisrael, even if he says something, still in the end, the get stands on its own. And his testimony, even though it might help us, even though it might guide us, that's not what we're relying on. The end, the get is a document that's signed, that is written. So we have, quote unquote, testimony from the get itself. And he's only a layer on top of that. On the other hand, in the case of Mate, he's still a pivotal character in this scenario. And therefore, we will not allow him to remarry. So there will be a difference between testifying about a mate versus testifying about a get when it wouldn't necessarily be, in both instances, necessary for him because we still, by the mate, we rely on the woman to look into it. And by the get, we know that it's an Eretz Yisrael, so we can always get the Edim, we can get the Ktav Yad, so we're not really relying on him. But there's a big difference. Where there's a get, he is not really meaningful to the case. In the case of mate, he's still a part of the case and he cannot marry the woman. All right, so next, mate, haragtiv, haragnua, lo yisait ishto. Hu nihu de lo yisait ishto. According to the Chachamir, the Tanakama, he may not marry the woman. Hala chertina say, but for someone else, she can marry. So we believe his testimony when he says that I killed him. When he says that, we say, okay, he can't marry her because he's no geava davar. But other people can rely on that testimony and marry her. Amar Rav Yosef, ploni rivani lo onsi. So now a person says, this individual sodomized me against my will. Hu v'acher mitztarfim l'harago. He and another person can get together as a deem, testify against this perpetrator of the crime, and have him put to death. Lirtzoni. If he says that it was an act, a consensual act of sodomy, then rashahu. He's a rasha. V'Torah amra, al tashet yadcha im rasha liot eid chamas. That you're not allowed to join together with a individual who is a Rasha in order to testify. So in that case, Rav Yosef says the testimony is invalid. Even though he is testifying alongside with someone else, his testimony is questionable because in the statement, he not only implicated the perpetrator of the act, he also implicated himself because he said he did it there. So no. So you have here a problem because in our case too, when he says, Haraktiv, I killed him, why is he believed over here? He's saying that basically he is a Rasha. What are you going to say? Oh, by Edutisha, where we say one Ed is sufficient, the Chachamim, they lowered the standard. So let's say over here too, they lowered the standard. Even though the guy's a murderer, we're going to believe him. Even though in other circumstances, we wouldn't believe him. V'amar Rav Menashe, didn't Rav Menashe say, Gazlan divdivrehem kasher le'edutisha? A thief, who's only a thief midrabanan, he can testify the Edut Isha. When they lowered the standard, the threshold, they only lowered the standard with regards to a gazlan midrabanan. But gazlan de divrei Torah pasul Edut Isha. If he is mamash a gazlan mina Torah, then he can't testify the Edut Isha. So we see when there's a violation of a din d'oraita, we don't allow in that instant a person to testify. Over here, he's a murderer. He's clearly in violation of a din d'oraita. If he's in violation of a din d'oraita, why are we allowing him to testify here? Even though he's Nogei of Davar, we don't allow him to testify himself, but why is he allowing other people to marry this woman? So Leima Rav Menashe Demarka Rav Yehuda. Well, let us suggest now that Rav Menashe must hold like Rav Yehuda. Because Rav Menashe says that if you have an Iser D'oraita, it's a problem. And that's what Rav Yehuda says in our Mishnah. Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah says that if he says, I killed him, then he's not believed anymore. So Ramalacha Rav Menashe, Ana Amre Afidu D'Rabbonon. I can even fit into Rabbanan, but time the Rabbanan Ocha, Kidirava. The reasoning behind the position of the Chachamim is like Rava. Dama Rava. Adam Karov Itzel Atzmo. A person is related to himself. Ve'ein Adam Misim Atzmo Rasha. And a person is not allowed to make themselves into a Rasha. This is what more famously is called Paginan Dibura. We bifurcate his statement. He made a statement over here that Ploni Rivani Lirtzoni, that someone performed an act of sodomy with me, and I was a willing, consensual participant over here. So we say is, bifurcate his statement. As far as Ploni Rivani, we believe him. That someone else acted on him, we're going to believe him. Lirtzoni, we're going to ignore that he made that statement, because Ein Adam Misim Atzmo Rasha, a person cannot implicate themselves. A person is not allowed to implicate themselves. Rashi says, don't we have a principle, hodat baldin kemei edim domi? When a person admits to something, it's the equivalent of 100 edim coming and testifying against them. Rashi says, only the gabei mamon. That's in monetary matters. If a person admits something with regards to monetary matters, that is binding on him. That's as if edim came and said it. On the other hand, with regards to isurim, a person cannot implicate himself. They cannot make himself into a rasha. So because of that, we are mifaleg, we divide up his statement, and we say, Ploni Rivani, that statement is fine. Lirtzoni, we can't believe him over there, because Lirtzoni would implicate him, make him into a rasha, and we bifurcate his din. Obviously, Rav Yosef disagrees with Rava. Rav Yosef, we just saw, says that if the guy says that, then he's a rasha, and we don't say Pagin and Dibur, and he's not allowed to testify. So it's, here you have a machoket Rav Yosef and Rava. Rav Menashe is saying, within the context of Rava, I can explain the Chachamim over here, because we can be Pagin and Dibura, which is Harotiv. I killed him. So now, with regards to implicating himself, we're not going to believe him. With regards to freeing this woman and allowing other people to marry her, that we will believe him, because there's no implications for him. It does not implicate himself. Even though, in a sense, the testimony over here is much more difficult. In the case of Ploni Rivani Liritzoni, you can divide up the statement and say Ploni Rivani. And Liritzoni is an added same statement. Ploni Rivani is important by itself. Liritzoni is a separate part of the statement. Over here, when he says Haraktiv, Haraktiv is basically saying, I killed him, and that he's dead. So on the part of that I killed him, we're not going to believe him. That he's dead, there we will believe him. Even though, again, all he said here was Haraktiv. So it's a little harder here, but we would still imply or say that we would use Pagina and Dibura, and we split it up. So Rav Menashe says, I can fit into this sugya, even according to the Chachamim, because of Rava. So even though when there's a violation d'oraita, the violation d'oraita over here, we can say that we bifurcate his statement. The Rashba over here says we only invoke Pagina and Dibura in an instance when we can reinterpret his statement. For instance, when he says Haraktiv, doesn't literally mean that I killed him, but rather I was amongst those that killed him, or I saw someone who killed him. Since we can reinterpret his words, therefore we say Bagin and Dibura. The Noda Bihuda, the Kovitz Arot, and most others disagree with the Rashba. And even when we can't reinterpret his statement, we still say Bagin and Dibura. In addition, we only say this with regards to Isurim that would make him into a Rasha, because a Rasha would be posel him for Edut, would then disqualify him from testifying. But if it's some Aveira that would not make him or classify him as a Rasha and be posel him from Edut, then we would even believe testimony about himself, the Gabei Isur. So the reason that the person is not believed over here is because Ein Adam Mesim Et Atzmo Rasha. Why Ein Adam Mesim Et Atzmo Rasha is most likely because he's Karov Etzel Atzmo, he's a relative to himself, and therefore his Edut is not a good testimony vis-a-vis himself. And therefore you can't Ein Adam Mesim Etzmo Rasha. The Kovetz Ha'arot tries to read it the other way, that Ein Adam Mesim Etzmo Rasha, because if he makes himself into a Rasha, then he's Pasul de Edut, and then that ruins his ability to testify. So by definition, if he's going to make himself into a Rasha, his Edut doesn't matter. And that's why that part of the testimony is disqualified over here, because if he does do it, then his testimony is not valid. And then if his testimony is not valid, then he can't make himself into a Rasha, and then his testimony on the other part is believed. Interesting enough, there's a lot of discussion about where Pagina and Dibura applies. The Gemara itself, in other places, divides and says it's only true by Trey Gufe. It's only true when there's two individuals. But Guf Echad, that's not true. I mean, that only if you can subdivide the testimony, and the testimony is relevant to two different people, there we can say Pagina and Dibura. But we won't say Pagin and Dibura where you're trying to be, you're splitting or bifurcating a statement, but it's about one individual. Then you're going to say, oh, half of it's true about the same individual and the other half is not true about the individual. In all these cases here, you have to think about it. But Ploni Rivani Liritzoni, part of the statement is about the perpetrator of the sodomy. And then the other side is about himself. So there's two individuals that he's testified. Haraktiv, again, is a statement about, I killed him and he's dead. So there's two people involved, so we call Gina Dibura. In a situation where it's one, the testimony relates to one individual, and now we're going to bifurcate his statement about a single individual, that we don't do. That's one qualification the Gemara makes. The Ravid also says, here it says, Rava says he's a Karov Etzel Atzmo. He is related to himself. And because he's related to himself, he can't testify about himself. That's the problem here. The Raiva notes that if a person comes along and testifies about two individuals, one who is a Karov and one who is not a Karov, over there we do not say Pogin and Dibura. We don't bifurcate a statement and say, oh, what he said about the Karov, we don't believe him. What he said about the non-Karov, we do believe him. Over there, it's one statement that he's testifying, and we say, if a person is testifying at a Karov, that's posel him for the entire testimony. It ruins his testimony altogether. And we don't say Pogin and Dibura. Because Pogin and Dibura only applies to the individual themselves. When a person's Karov, it's a little small. But the other Kirva, it does not apply. And that's probably because Rava continues, in Adam Masim, it's more Rasha. He doesn't make himself into a Rasha, so he can't implicate himself. Him being a Karov means he can't implicate himself. In terms of a Karov, he can implicate the Karov. The problem is, the Gzeret HaKatuv is that he's not believed by a Karov. He's just not believed. And because of that, it ruins his testimony, and we will not say Pogin and Dibura. So that's an addition the Raivid makes here, and that most people are tofes. It's not clear. The Rambam might argue on that. The Raivid definitely says it, and that's Nitkabal Alocha, that the only Karov where we say Pogin and Dibura is by the person themselves, not by other Krovim. Because, as the Ramban says, when he testifies about himself, it's as if it doesn't exist at all. And so it doesn't exist at all, that's how we are Pogin and Dibura. Whereas by a Karov, there's a testimony that's Pasul, a testimony that's Kasher, and the testimony that's Pasul ruins the entire testimony. The Gemara asks with regards to Mamon. How does it work here? Do we say Pogin and Dibura with regards to Mamon? For instance, an individual says, Ploni Rivash Shor'i. This person performed an act of bestiality with my animal. Now, as far as his animal is concerned, he's no geah b'davar, because the animal is going to be put stoned, is going to be killed, put to death. With regards to the other individual, he has no connection to the individual. So in that scenario, do we say Pogin and Dibura and say that he's not no geah b'davar? Can we say he can put the other person to death, but his shor is not put to death because he's a karov, he's implicating the shor, which is his own money? Or either do we not say Pogin and Dibura in that case, and the testimony falls, it's a problematic testimony, or do we say with regards to Mamon, a person is not considered to be a Karov, and therefore he can testify about it? Which is the conclusion of Rava in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara discusses these different cases that are derivatives of this concept of Pogin and Dibura. Most important thing, and Tosafot mentions it here and other places, is that we will interpret what he says. We will not add on to what he says. So over here, when he says, for instance, Ploni Rivani Liritsoni, Pogin and Dibura is Ploni Rivani. Liritsoni will drop that part of it. But we won't do, for instance, in a case, a person says that I signed the get under duress. So now it makes a difference. If you sign something under duress, the person claims under duress, it depends what the duress was. Was it monetary duress? Or was it nifashot? Somebody was going to kill him if he didn't sign it. Now, if the person did it because they were going to kill him, then he's excused. If he did it for monetary reasons, he actually makes himself into a rasha, and he loses any ability to testify anymore because he just implicated himself in being able to be bribed to sign documents. So when a person says that I signed it under duress, we do not go ahead then and say, what type of duress was it? We don't go ahead and say, oh, it was onus nefashot, onus mamon, because there you're adding on. You're trying to reinterpret what he says, and we're now adding on words to what he said. There we don't say Pogin and Dibura. We're going to only say Pogin and Dibura where he makes a full statement, and then we can bifurcate the statement that he made without having to add anything on. So again, in our case here, Haraktiv, is that I killed him. And that built into that is that I killed him and he's dead. So we don't have to add anything on to bifurcate the statement and say I killed and he's dead. That's all in the information that he gave us. We're not adding anything to that. And the same thing by the case of Ploni Rivani Liritsoni. We're not adding anything on. We're not reinterpreting anything. We're just splitting his statement in half and saying Ploni Rivani Liritsoni. And that's where it works. Pogin and Dibura works. Right? The Mara says, now, Lema Rav Yosef da Amar ki Rav Yehuda. So let us say Rav Yosef is forced to say like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef argues in Rava and doesn't allow for Pogin and Dibura. Maybe he holds like, he must have to hold like Rav Yehuda that it doesn't work over here. Amar Rav Yosef, an Amri Afilu Rabbonon. He says, I can hold like the Rabbanon. Mashani eduti shad kiluba Rabbanon. I think that the Rabbanon were makil over here and allowed, even when a person is in violation of an isur d'oraita, they allowed him to testify about the death of this individual. V'Rav Nasha damar Rabbi Yehuda. You know why? Because I don't agree with Rav Nasha. Rav Nasha was mechalik between isurei d'Rabbanon and isurei d'oraita. He'll have to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, but I don't hold of that. I think whether it's an isur d'oraita or isur d'Rabbanon, the chachamim were makil by eduti shad. And that's why I can fit even into the Chachamim of our Mishnah. So even though Rav Yosef does not hold a plug-in in Dibura, nevertheless, he will allow the person to testify Haragtiv, and we will believe him, allow this woman to get married, because the Chachamim lowered the standard by Edut Isha, even by Isurim Deoraita. He disagrees with what Rav Menashe said before, that Chiluk between the Rabbanan and Deoraita. All right, now, Haragtiv, Chuleb Haragnua Tinasei. So now, the Gemara wants to know, what's the difference? Maishna Haragtiv, or Maishna Haragnua? Now, according to the Chachamim, there's no difference. The Tanakama says that it doesn't matter. Haragtiv, Haragnua, we believe him. But Rabbi Yehuda is Michalik. Rabbi Yehuda says Haragtiv, he's not believed. Haragnu, he is believed. Well, if he implicates himself in both cases, why is it that we believe him in one case and we don't believe him in the other case? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Be'omer ani ayiti im horgav. So Rabbi Yehuda says that, not that I was the one who killed him, I was only an accessory to the crime. I wasn't the actual murderer. I was with his murderers. And that's the explanation of Haragnu. Gemara says, Va'atanya, wait a minute, is that what it means? Amru lo Rabbi Yehuda, Masa belistim echad, sheyatza lehareg. There was this individual murderer who was being taken out to be executed. They had taken him to court, they found him guilty, and now they're taking him out to execute. Bemegizat Kaputkia, in this location in Kaputkia, Va'amar lehem, l'chu amru la le'eshet Shimon ben Kohen, go tell the wife of Shimon Kohen, ani haragti ebala, bikinisati lelot. I killed her husband when I entered into Lot. V'amrila, and some say, bikinisato lelot, when he entered into Lot. But on his way out to be executed, he basically says, listen, you know, that some of these people, when they're going out to be executed, they're willing to admit to everything they did wrong. So this guy just calls out and says, tell this woman, you know, she's been looking for a husband all these years. I killed him. He's dead. And they believed his testimony, and they married his wife based on that testimony. So, Amar Lahem, he says, wait a minute, Misham Raya, you bring a proof from there? Beomer Ani Haiti Imhorgav, says, I was with his murderer. So Rabbi Yehuda reinterprets it. Again, Rav Yehuda says that Rabbi Yehuda is saying over here that, not that I murdered him, I was present when he was murdered. I was an accessory to the crime. I was there when they murdered him, but not that I murdered him. Where it says, Valistim Ktani. He goes, wait a minute. Why is this guy being taken out to be executed? Because he was a listim. He was a marauder. He killed someone. So he is a murderer. We know he's a murderer because he's being taken out to be executed. Okay, so in the case that he's testifying about this woman, he didn't kill him. But he killed someone else. We know he's a murderer. So right, shouldn't be believed. Where it says, Shinit Pasa Yidei Listiot. Not that he was a murderer, that he was, again, he was with marauders that killed. Again, he was an accessory to the crime. He was just in the presence of people who killed. He didn't do it. But then he's getting a death penalty. Why is he getting a death penalty if he was only just watching and he wasn't there? Don't check into it so much. If you were there when the murder happened, you're considered to be guilty, guilty by association, and they're taking him out to be killed. So the assumption being that the courts were not as strict about this idea that you only kill someone if they murdered, but even if you were present during the murder, we're going to kill you. So in this case, the way we're going to explain this whole braita is that this person never murdered. He was always, just happens to be there. Guy either intentionally is an accessory to the crime, or he had bad luck. And he was present when the listim murdered the first time, that's why he's being taken out to be executed. And he was also there when they killed this Shimon ben Kohen in Lod. He was also present there. He just happens to always be there when they murdered. But he himself is not a murderer, and that's why he's believed. And now we can understand Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you say, I killed, then he's a Rasha, and we don't believe him. Not for himself, not for anyone else. Haragnua, he's also a Rasha. If he participated in the murder, then he's also a Rasha, and we wouldn't believe him for himself or others. So what's the difference in Haragnua? It's not that he killed him, but he's saying, I was there when he was killed. Others killed him. I was a part of the party. There, we say it's fine, because he's not implicating himself, and that's why it's okay. And the Re in Tosafot says that even if he says Haragnu, we interpret it as if he said, I was with the party of murderers. The Tosafot Yishanim, if you look inside, adds a kafa dimyon to say Ke Omer. Even when it says Haragnu, Ke Omer, it's as if he said this. Now, obviously, if he did say that, then it's fine. But even if he says Haragnu, we reinterpret it in order to give credence to his testimony and not implicate himself. Next Mishnah. HaChacham Shasar Et HaYisha B'Neder. a chacham who was unable to find a petach the neder for a woman, and therefore nasar yishab neder abala, that caused the husband not to be able to be together with his wife, and in the end results in a divorce. The woman took a neder that says, I won't get hana from my husband. And for whatever reason, they can't unwind the neder. And they came to a chacham who said, I can't unwind it. Then she gets divorced. Harizelo Yisena. This chacham who did not unwind the neder should not marry her. Again, it looks really bad because the reason that they couldn't stay married is because this chacham could not be matir. Then all of a sudden he goes and marries her. It looks like he was doing it for his own benefit. Miana osho chaltza bifanav. If she performs miun or chalitza in front of him, Yisena. He can marry the woman. Why? Mipnei shu beitin. Because he's part of a beitin. We do not suspect collusion. We would suspect a person will act on his own behalf. We do not suspect a person is chote ve'eno lo. That's what the Gemara in Shabbat says. A person does not sin to benefit someone else. A person will sin to benefit himself. He will not sin to benefit others. So now, if he has a benefit from him, like if people are paying him and he's getting money, he will sin because then it's for himself. He's a beneficiary of the money. But he will not collude with others to help them unless he has a benefit. So this is the principle. I think you asked about this before, which is what happens? Oh, he's doing it for his best friend. Now, a person will not sin in this scenario for his best friend unless there is some sort of benefit to him. That's the Gemara's belief, that collusion will only apply where the person is a beneficiary. If he has no benefit from it, people will not do this. They will not sin for the benefit of someone else. Therefore, these are forms of divorce. Miana is a form of rabbinic divorce. Chalitza is a way to undo a zika to a yibum. So all of these things free the woman to be married to others. One of the dayanim in the case can marry her because they're not acting as a sole individual. They're acting as a beit din, as a unit of a beit din. And we don't suspect a beit din acting in bad faith in order to benefit one of the dayanim in the beit din. So we assume a beit din acts because we're not going to suspect collusion. And therefore when he marries her, there's nothing wrong with it. The question of whether he should do it anyway, whether it looks bad, Tosafot discusses over here, maybe you shouldn't do it anyway just because it just doesn't look good. It's Maradayin, even though there's no problem with it. Maybe it's just better not to do it. So, ha, hetira yisa'ena. What happens if he was matir the neder? He can marry her. B'maya skinan. What's the case here? Ilema b'chad. If we're talking about one individual, chad mi matzi matir. Can one person really be matir and neder? V'amar Rabbi Chiya ba'avin. Amar Rav Amram, Tano, Hatarat Nidarim b'shlosha. Hatarat Nidarim requires three. If that's the case, no collusion over here. And then even in a case where he's not matirit, she should be able to marry the woman because it was decided by a beit din, not by him individually. El if it's lato, mi chashide. Why would they be chashud? Batanan, are the latter half of our Mishnah, which is mi anau chalza b'fanav yisener, b'neishu beit din. So if that's the case, if it's three, we don't understand what's going on over here. Because if it's three, even if he's oser, he should be able to marry her because we don't worry about collusion. Lo'olam b'chad. We're talking about one. K'damar Rav Chista, Rav Yochanan b'yochid mumte. When you have a super expert with regards to nidarim, someone who has smicha, someone who has a certain stature, hachanavim b'yochid mumte. So that's right. The case of hatarat nidarim in the Mishnah is a case where the person's acting on his own. Since he's acting on his own, there we have suspicions that when he's oser, that he's nogea badavar because he marries the woman, then we're not going to allow him to marry the woman because that casts aspersions on his psak with regards to the neder. On the other hand, if he acts with a beit din and he acts in concert with a beit din, there we don't suspect collusion. All right, miyona osher chalitza, case of miyona chalitza. Time of the beit din. It's only because it's a beit din. A beit din assumes three. There we don't suspect collusion. Ha betray lo. So wait, with two individuals, we would worry about collusion. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ishnami hadetznan edim achatumim al stei mekach." You have witnesses who sign on a document of sale, v'get isha, or on a bill of divorce. Lo chashu chachamim ledavar zeh. The chachamim don't worry about it. Meaning that one of the edim can go ahead and buy the field. One of the edim can marry this woman later on. We don't worry about the fact that these two edim acted in this way in order to free up the field so they could buy it. Or these edim did this in order to marry the woman because, again, you're talking about two. So it's clear here the chachamim don't worry about collusion. So Gemara says, Igufa kamashmalon. That's exactly what our mission is coming to teach us. Lafuke mimand amar miyun bifnei shnayim. Not that two are no good or two are can collude, but rather it's telling us that you can't do miyun before two. That you need a beit din. Kamashmalon miyun begimel. Machloket of Miyun can be done in front of two or three, either whether you need witnesses or a Beit Din. Our Mishnah says, Beit Din, that tells you need Miyun in front of three. And Ochanami, even in front of two, there's no collusion. So even if two people are involved in this situation, one of them can act and marry or buy the property or do whatever it is because we don't suspect collusion even with two. Especially with three we don't, but even with two we don't suspect it. Why does our Mishnah mention Beit Din? Because that's exactly what it teaches, that Miyun and Chalitza have to be done in front of a Beit Din of three, not in front of two, like there is a Deya that you can do in front of two. Ibalu, Kanas, Maushi Yotzi. In the scenario of our Mishnah, Rashi says it's about both cases of our Mishnah, which is the case of Chacham and the case here of Get. This Mishnah here about the Chacham and the previous Mishnah about the Get. In that case, if he marries her, what's the din? Does he have to divorce her in that case? Rav Kana Mar Kanas Mutzi. Vashi Mar Kanas Seinu Mutzi. Machloket Damoraim. Tani Lu Rav Zuti Debei Rav Papi Ki Divrei Omer Kanas Seinu Mutzi. So he had a bright or some sort of Taniach support to the one who says if he married her, Seinu Mutzi. Amar Lei Rabbon on the Ravashi. Ravashi, who agrees with that and says, Kanas, Einu Motzi, that if you do marry, you don't have to divorce her. The Rabbanan asks Ravashi, Gemara, Osvara. Is that a Mesorah that you had? Or is that a logical argument? Amar Lo, Matznitani, it's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, meaning the three Mishnayot ago, which is, Anitan, Mishivcha, Vinishtachara. Person has rumors circulating about having an affair with a Shivcha Kananit, and then she's freed. Veovedet Kochavim, Vinitkayira. Or a case that he had a affair with a non-Jewish woman, and then she converts. Harizel lo yichnos. He should not marry her. Vim kanas, ein motzi. If he marries her, he doesn't have to divorce her. Alma, birnana, lo mafkinan. On rumors, we do not cause divorce. Hachanami, birnana, lo mafkinan. When there are rumors, we do not divorce. So now, this is different than the case of our Mishnah with regards to an Eish and Ish. That's what Tosafot says over here. With regards to Shivcha Kananit, with regards to a Ovedet Kochavim, and here in regards to a Chacham, and regards to the Get cases, in all these cases, their actions in of themselves are not problematic. The marriage afterwards brings into a question about their motives, or whether in the case there the rumors are true, or in the case here, whether their motives were really pure. But in actuality, there's nothing wrong with what they did. On the other hand, by the case of Eish and Ish, because there, if the rumors are verified, then the well has to divorce the woman no matter what. Then you're running into an Iser Doraita. Here, since there's a problem with the nether over here, and that nether, even if it was wrong, and it wasn't done to din, once the husband divorces the woman, the chacham is mutar to marry her. Divorce frees the woman. He's not doing anything wrong. It's just a question of all the motives in the same thing. Right, the appearances and his motives in saying that the nether could not be mutar the nether. But once the husband decides that, okay, the nether is not mutar, I'm divorcing the woman is a divorcee, and he can marry her. So all these cases, all the other cases, we're not dealing with an instance where we're going to force a divorce because of Iser Doraita. But the case of Eish and Ish, it might be different because there, if they're found to be true, the rumors, then you have an Iser Doraita. So over there, Im Kanas Motzi. If he takes her, then it'd be Motzi, which again, this relates back to the Psak Halacha before, that when it comes to rumors, if there are persistent rumors, we will even force the husband to divorce in that case, not just the Boel. Because the persistent rumors are about an issue that might be an issue de oraita. And therefore, according to many of the Rishonim, not like the Tosafot we saw yesterday, like the Tosafot in other places, and other Rishonim, that's enough, according to Rabbi, to force a divorce not only from the Boel, but even from the Baal, when you have these types of persistent rumors about an Eish and Ish. Okay, we'll stop here. The top of Chof Vav Aleph by the Mishnah.